The Gospel according to St. John in the 12th chapter, the account of the Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem. The next day the large crowd had come to the feast and heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." This is the word of God. Please be seated. In a parade, the participants of honor usually have a very nice ride. You might remember Captain Sully Sullenberger, who landed that disabled plane on the Hudson River. When he was the Grand Marshal of the Tournament of Roses parade in 2010, right, he rode down Colorado Boulevard in a vintage 1928 Pierce Arrow, beautifully maintained, polished to a high gloss, and decked out with roses. A gorgeous set of wheels. Or after Neil Armstrong and the crew of Apollo 11 returned from the moon, they were honored with a ticker tape parade in New York City, and they rode in a car that Chrysler made, especially as a ceremonial vehicle. It was a 1952 Imperial Parade Phaeton. Another high-class set of wheels. And when our high school homecoming courts parade before the crowd, you don't see them in a Volkswagen Bug or in a Mini Cooper. They're always in a convertible Camaro or a Corvette or a Mustang. And even in Jesus' day, a victorious king riding in a parade would have had the best of rides. He would have had a gold-gilded chariot, opulent and bright and shining, or he would have been on a proud, high-prancing steed. And one look and you would have immediately known that this was a victory parade. And then Jesus comes to town. And as he approaches the gates, the word circulates that he's coming. And a crowd goes out to try to catch a glimpse of this now famous teacher slash miracle worker who had raised a dead man. And the chanting begins because they're thinking this might be the Messiah. So the chanting begins by the whole crowd. "Hosanna! Save us, Lord! Blessed is the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna!" And immediately you would have known that this was a victory parade. Except for one very odd thing. He's on a donkey, not a proud steed, not a chariot, a donkey. This would be like the mayor of New York City riding in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in a rusted 1973 Ford Pinto, sputtering down 7th Avenue, spewing white exhaust from the tailpipe. And the parade goers would have thought, well, that's odd. And it's odd that Jesus, in this victory parade, would be riding a donkey. And yet it's precisely the oddness of it that shows us what this parade is all about. Verse 16 in chapter 12 of Luke says, "The disciples did not understand all of these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered, then they understood. But when the parade was actually happening, the disciples weren't paying attention to the donkey. They were more focused on the glorious aspects of what was happening. The waving of the palm branches, the jubilation of the crowd, and the messianic overtones of the whole thing, and that they were caught up in the middle of all the excitement. In short, they were focused on what all of the people were bringing to this parade, not what Jesus had brought. A donkey. And it's the donkey that clues us in as to the enemies that Jesus came to defeat. Who are the enemies after all? Well, of course, the people along the parade route, thinking this to be the Messiah, they would have thought that the enemy was the Romans. And they were right. You know, it was the Romans who ordered the execution of Christ. But the list of enemies, that only begins with Rome. That's a very small matter. A greater enemy turns out to be Jesus' own people, the religious leaders. You would have thought that after Jesus had healed the lame and the blind and the deaf and had even raised a dead man to life, just as the Jewish prophets have always said the Messiah would, you would have thought they would have recognized Jesus as the Messiah. But instead they arrest him, they agitate the crowd against him, they manipulate Pilate to crucify him. But even at that, those aren't the worst enemies that Jesus faced, not by far. Even worse is what's driving those religious leaders to do what they do. Jealousy. That people were following Jesus instead of them. Fear that they might lose their privileged position. Hatred because Jesus told them they were hypocrites. They needed to repent and change their lives. Greed because Jesus had threatened the whole financial underpinnings of the temple system and operation and the source of their wealth. And anger that Jesus was allowing people to worship him instead of God alone. Now there's a list of enemies that hits a little bit closer to home. Greed, anger, jealousy, fear, hatred, the very same demons that stir in all of our hearts and minds, that motivate us to spew ugly words at the very people we love the most, to seek revenge, to steal, to be selfish, to hurt someone else, to harm their reputation, to do the very things that we say we detest. So powerful are these enemies in us. But you know, even that hasn't gone far enough. There's one more enemy we must name, our last and our greatest enemy. Last October 29th, newspapers across the country ran that day's non sequitur comic strip. And it was a play on this, all of this GPS technology. The comic strip shows this cemetery with a number of tombstones, and there in the middle is one open, freshly dug grave. And a car has been driven into this grave. It's nose down into the grave, and the voice coming from the GPS system inside the car says, "You have arrived at your destination." A little bit of humor, and that comic really opens our eyes, doesn't it? The last great enemy we face is death itself, the destination of the disobedient, and the just punishment for all of that greed and that jealousy and that anger and that hatred and that fear in us and everything else that put Jesus on that donkey. Do you see who the real enemies are? It's not some occupying Roman soldiers. Jesus is going up against the enemies that occupy us. He's going to battle against the dark places of our hearts and minds, taking on our sins, taking on our foe, taking on our death. And how does he go into this battle against these enemies? On a donkey, an animal that conveys humility and gentleness instead of war and violence. But what animal would be more appropriate? He does not take the battlefield to shed the blood of others, but to shed his own blood for them. He is not fighting to take people's lives, he's fighting to save their lives by giving his. He's not fighting to make war, he's fighting to make peace between heaven and earth. And how does he gain that victory? With all of the meekness and the lowliness of a donkey rider. He permits jealousy and fear and hatred and greed and anger to do their worst to him. He does not stop the violence that is done to him, but he willingly suffers all of their fury and their rage all the way to the cross, all the way to death. And when darkness covered the face of the earth, it looked like the enemies had won. But we know better. We know what's coming next Sunday. And on the other side of Easter, the disciples also finally understood that Jesus' victory was a whole lot bigger than just pushing back some Roman soldiers or putting some greedy, jealous religious leaders in their place. His victory is over everything that sin and death do to us. And it came by way of riding a donkey, by way of a cross, by way of an open tomb. And that victory parade has been going on ever since. Every hymn of praise that we sing is added to the sounds of that parade. Every prayer that we say raises the volume of that celebration. Every day we follow Jesus in faith and obedience, we are joining that crowd who followed Jesus. And every act of devotion and love for Jesus is like taking the palm branches and waving them again. Today in this service, and every day in our lives of love and devotion to Christ, we join that victory parade that takes us all the way to an eternity with Jesus. Because you see, that non sequitur comic strip had it all wrong. GPS, God's plan of salvation, does take us to the grave, but not as our destination. The grave is just a waypoint. The destination is the eternal parade, celebrating with all the saints the victory that Jesus won when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. You know, come to think of it, maybe Palm Sunday would be better named Donkey Sunday. I wonder what that opening procession would look like. Peace be with you. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.